You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
All right, turn your Bibles, please, to Mark. Anywhere is good there. It's all good. Mark chapter 14. And then also, if you can put your hand, look up Luke chapter 23, and we'll go there as well. And you've heard Pastor, he doesn't really give up the pulpit too often. And so it is a privilege for us, staff, to be able to come and try to be a blessing through the Word of God. And if it is the Word of God that I'm preaching, you will be blessed. Amen. And so I'm just trusting that the power is in the Word, because it is. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the Bible. I thank you for you and all that you've done for us, and a lot of things we really cannot comprehend. And I do ask, dear God, that you would help us today. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your Word. We depend upon you and rely upon thee only to take your Word and apply it to each and every heart that is listening today. I ask these things in your precious name. Amen. It was around midnight when Judas brought armed men to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. After his arrest, Jesus was taken to Caiaphas, the high priest, and they tried to get two witnesses to testify against Jesus for a crime that was punishable by death. But they could not find two that agreed. You're right there in Mark chapter 14. You see, the Jewish law required two witnesses in order to convict someone to death. I'm in verse 53 of Mark 14. The Bible says, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose a certain and bear false witness against him, saying, 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is this which these witness against?'" He just pictured the scene right here. Jesus was arrested. And let's pretend Brother Remers is the high priest. So he stands before the high priest. And the high priest would call witnesses, and they would accuse Jesus. But as they kept coming, no two witnesses agreed.
Yeah, amen.
And so the high priest is looking, and he's getting frustrated. He can't convict Jesus. By the way, at one point in Jesus' life, he said, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" In his lifetime, nobody has ever convicted Jesus of any wrongdoing. And so Jesus was standing before Pilate, and the witness keep coming, and we kept coming. And it's sort of like a comedy. And I could just imagine, I know it's very serious, but, you know, Jesus would listen to the accusation and say, okay, next. Next. I think after a while, then the high priest stood up. After a while, Jesus says, okay, enough. I'll convict myself. And so the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" After all these witnesses came, and nobody was able to charge Christ with anything. In verse 62, let's read verse 61. "But he
held his peace. Jesus never said anything and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. See, not only did Jesus say, yeah, I am. Now, let me clarify what that means. You see, yes, you're right. I am the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. But not only that, you will see me sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Does that tell you enough information of who I am? I am God, yes. I am the Christ, yes. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah, yes. And witness after witness comes through, and none of them can convict Jesus. And Jesus, I think he's just rolling his eyes. He says, okay, enough of that. Go ahead, ask me the question. Am I the Christ? And Jesus says, I am. And so he was guilty. They said he spoke blasphemy. He claimed to be the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, the Messiah, the Son of God. Basically claiming to be of the same nature and essence as God. He claimed to be God himself. That's enough, they said. He's guilty of death. But there was a problem. See, the Jews were under Roman rule. And because of that, they did not have authority to put anyone to death. They need help. And so they went to Pontius Pilate. This was around 7 o'clock in the morning. The Roman governor of the province of Judea. Let's turn to Luke 23, if you would, please. And thank you for following along. It helps us to set the scene if we look at scriptures. Luke chapter 23. And I'm reading at verse 32. I'm sorry, let me start in the beginning there. So they brought Jesus before Pilate. It says there, and the whole multitude arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, the King. And Pilate asked, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest, by the way, thou was not punishable by death. See, are you a king? And that's why Pilate tried many times to release Jesus. Why? He was not guilty of anything under Roman law to be put to death. And by the way, notice the high priest and the elders did not tell him exactly what the charge was. The charge was for blasphemy, but that didn't mean anything to Pilate. They had to come up with a different charge to make Pilate find Jesus guilty. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. He had done nothing worthy of death penalty. Pilate then sent Jesus to Herod, hoping maybe to have Herod be the one to convict Jesus. He's trying to see Jesus at this point was a hot potato. He said, I don't want to deal with this. Oh, Herod's in town. All right, I'll give him to Herod. Herod gives him back. He can't even get away with that. In verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, yet, Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. But the people were not buying it. They demanded that Jesus be crucified, and that Pilate release Barabbas instead. Pilate kept trying to release Jesus, but finally the Jews implied that Pilate was not being loyal to Rome. John chapter 19. And I won't read it for the sake of time, but Pilate again goes to them in verse 4. Says, I find no fault in him. Amen. And then verse 6, he says again, I find no fault in him. Yeah. And then the Jews, verse 7, answered, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And notice the reaction of Pilate. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. He was already scared. Says, something is different with this man. Yep. there's something, he's not guilty of anything. Why are these people trying to get him killed? His own wife said, have nothing to do with that just man. I have suffered many things in a dream because of him. And when I get into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? He says, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Oh man, now that's very close to home. See, he was the governor, an official of Rome. And now the Jews are going to say, we're going to tell Caesar that you're disloyal. And finally, Pilate says, okay, wash his hands. You do what you want with him. He says, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Jesus now going to be crucified for what the Jews called blasphemy. He claimed to be the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. They led Jesus away to be crucified. I studied a little bit about crucifixion. Crucifixion at that time, at that day, was the most cruel, the most painful form of torture that was ever devised by man. The Persians invented it, and the Romans perfected it. You see, it starts with a scourging, and we have all heard that. It's a leather whip with sharp objects at the tip there. And the Roman soldiers would then whip the back, the legs, and rip and shred the flesh. I read that word stripes there actually is singular. The stripes, though there were many, they looked like one wound. It was that bad, all the way down the back of Jesus. The Bible says that his visage, that means his appearance, was so marred that he didn't even look like a human being. I don't think we comprehend at all what Jesus suffered, because a lot of the things we see, the pictures of Jesus on the cross, it's so sterilized. Yeah. But if you had been there, you would have realized, you couldn't even think, you couldn't even see that it was a human being. He was that bad. And yet that's what Jesus did for us. The Bible says, crucifixion. See, I'm going to ruin a song. Bert Oxenheim ruined that song. He could have called 10,000 angels. So it's 72,000 angels now, so change that if the choir sings it. But the Bible says, on a hill far away. People look and people think, yeah, Calvary's over there. I see Jesus on top of a hill. There was no hill on Calvary. The Roman crucifixion, they would crucify people on the side of a busy road. And the cross is actually, if you were to pass by the road, you could almost see at eye level at whoever is getting crucified. And on the side of a popular road, three crosses stood, and people would come and look. You're the Christ. Save yourself. Come down from that cross. You're a king. Let's see how powerful you are. You claim to be the Son of God. Show us.
And throughout that day, people would pass by and spit and mock and ridicule. The Romans would place soldiers at the foot of the cross because they did not want family members or friends coming there and ripping the body off the cross and rescuing their loved ones. That's why there was a centurion there. He's in charge of 100 men. And so you see the cross and Jesus there and people just very close right there. And Roman soldiers all around making sure the crowd doesn't come there and try to do something with the body. The Bible says that as he hung there, let me just say this too. The way the bodies were hung, it was hard for them to exhale. They could inhale, but to exhale, they have to pull their bodies up. And they go down, and they pull their bodies up. And go down, pull their bodies up. For 6 hours, Jesus tried to grab every breath. During that time, he was looking at John and his mother Mary. He was hanging there. Because his body was so marred, that cross was rough wood. Every time he'd pull, the pain. The Bible says all his joints were out of place. The way they're hung, the shoulder bone, the elbows. Imagine the pain. As they laid him on the cross, as the Roman soldiers pounded the nails, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nobody survived the crucifixion. He said that sometimes it was designed for the longest possible torture. Sometimes those who were crucified would hang there for days until they finally could not bring themselves up again to breathe. Because it was so low to the ground, sometimes animals, wild animals would come. And you could just imagine what they would do to the body. Insects would burrow themselves on the wounds. And Jesus, by the way, Psalm 22 is a prophecy of how Jesus was going to die. When David wrote that, there was no crucifixion. It hasn't been invented then. You know what that means? Jesus chose the way he was gonna die. And you know what he chose? The most painful and the most agonizing torture that any human being can ever experience. And Jesus chose that. He told his disciples, signifying what death he should die. He knew what. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane,
The Bible says that he was sweating drops of blood, which is actually a medical condition brought about by high stress. The capillaries around the sweat glands would burst. And as he sweated in the garden, blood would pour because of what he was about to experience. That's why I said, if it's okay with you, God, let this thing pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was broken for us. Just imagine every breath he took. He did that for you and me. Amen. 3 hours, and then on the third hour, there was darkness that came on all the earth. And after 3 hours, Jesus knew that all the prophecies regarding his death was fulfilled. And he said, it is finished. And they offered him, I didn't say this, at the beginning of the crucifixion, the soldiers went and gave him gall. You know what gall is? It is painkiller. And Jesus refused it. He tasted the gall, says, no, I'm going to suffer the full force of the sin of the world. When he cried, it is finished, he says, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And by the way, Jesus says, you don't take my life away from me. I give it. And that's why when Joseph of Arimathea says, can I have the body of Jesus? Pilate says, what? He's dead already? He's dead already? Because normally the crucifixion would take days until all of a sudden they just didn't have any strength left to lift their bodies. He's dead already? Yes, he's dead already because he gave it willingly.
Amen.
But there's a story I want us to see within that story. There were two criminals crucified with Jesus that day as well. And the Bible says they were both mocking and making fun of Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 27:41, likewise also the chief priests mocking him, the scribes, the elders said, he save others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, both of them, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. But then after a while, one of those criminals started seeing things differently. In Luke 23, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. Remember, both of them were doing that at one time. But now, in verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. God opened his eyes. God was working the miracle of salvation in this man's life. One minute he was hurling insults at Jesus, and all of a sudden he did not see Jesus the same way as before. He hated Jesus so much, but now he's saying, look, wait, wait, wait. I can't believe you're insulting him. What happened? By the way, what happened to the thief on the cross is what happened to all of us when we got saved. First of all, he feared God. He feared God. Luke 23:40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? See, there can be no conversion until we understand that this life is not all there is. There's coming a day when we must all face God's judgment for our sins. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. He was not afraid of being judged in the present. He was already being judged. He was thinking about what happens after I die. I already faced the Roman judge. I'm about to face the eternal judge. And as painful and agonizing the cross was, he started to realize that that was just the beginning compared to what was about to happen to him. Yes, he was being put to death for crimes he had done in this lifetime. But God opened his eyes to the fact that pain was just beginning. And by the way, if we're going to go to heaven, we need to understand that. The Bible says we're condemned already. We're like that thief on the cross. We're already on our way to hell. You don't have to do anything else to go to hell. We're already deserving of hell. And he knew that. He said, man, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sin. And guess what? I'm paying here. But guess what? I'm still about to pay somewhere else. And he feared God. Then he understood his sinfulness. He says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He owned up to his sins. He didn't blame his circumstances. He did not blame his upbringing. I'm like this because of my parents. I'm like this because I did not have a father in the house. I did not have a mother in the house. No one told me they loved me. That's why I'm like this. No, he did not blame anything. He says, I'm on the cross because I deserve to be on the cross. I am guilty before God. And if we're ever going to get saved or go to heaven, we need to realize and admit before God that we are guilty before Him. And then he saw the righteousness of Christ. And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. Nobody, they tried to convict Jesus. They could not find any witnesses that would agree together. Why? Because Jesus never sinned, amen. And the reason Jesus never sinned is so that he can pay for our sins. Amen. Whether he understood everything about theology of Jesus taking his sins on there, I don't know, but you know what? He saw that Jesus had no sin. Says, this man hath done nothing amiss. Again, by the way, don't forget, there was something above the head of Jesus that this thief was looking at. There was an inscription that says, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Yeah. Jesus means God saves. King of Israel is the promised Messiah. He was looking at that sign. Could it be? It's the Messiah. Could it be? I heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Could it be? He's not acting like any criminal. And then he believed in Jesus. As a Jew, he understood who Christ, what that meant. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Amen. When thou comest. Amen. Into thy kingdom. Wow. He believed that Jesus is the promised king that was sent to set up the kingdom in Israel. He also believed in the resurrection. So what? He believed in the resurrection. Nobody survives the crucifixion. Nobody. And he was looking at Jesus. He's dying. I'm dying. The other thief is dying. We're not getting out of this alive. Well, what did he say, Lord? Remember me when you come to your kingdom. This is not the end. There is a resurrection. And he believed that in the resurrection, he could be with Christ. And then he received. Sorry, wake you up. Amen. He received forgiveness. Luke 23:43, and Jesus said unto him, he says, verily, for sure. Imagine yourself, you're a thief, you deserve, you know it, you deserve to die. And Jesus is about to tell you,
You're going to be in paradise. He says, look, for sure. Verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. By the way, if you look up what paradise is, that's where Paul was caught up, the third heaven. Paradise. Paradise is where the tree of life is. Paradise is heaven. And Jesus was saying, for sure. Today.
Amen.
What sweet words, those words that Jesus spoke to him must have been. Amen. The story of the thief on the cross is a story of forgiveness. By the way, that can never be earned, but it is freely given.
The thief did nothing to earn a place in the presence of Jesus. He simply believed in Jesus and who he is. There are only two kinds of people listening to my voice this morning. You're one of those two thieves. If you continue and not trust Christ as your Savior, you're the other one that's mocking Jesus. Ah, no, that's not right. That's not real. No, there's other ways to go to heaven. That's not true.
Or you're the other one. Say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He feared God. Do you fear God? I hope so. There's coming a judgment day. Do you understand your sinfulness? None of us are perfect. All of us are sinners. And we deserve the lake of fire. Have you seen who Jesus is? He is the perfect Son of God, the Savior of the world. Would you today believe him? He's the only one that can take us to heaven. And if you put your faith in him, you will receive forgiveness. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just like the thief on the cross, we cannot earn this free gift of forgiveness. Why not believe Jesus today?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.